This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're breaking down this compendium that Cheryl and her other half did with regard to UFOs, UFO sightings desk reference from 2001 to 2020. Now, before we go on with the contents, did you and Linda do equal parts of each thing, or did you kind of assign certain tasks one or the other?
No. Okay, first thing you got to understand, Linda is the scientific brain. She's got all the science degrees, okay? She's a bona fide scientist, okay? She gave us the discipline and direction, okay, through all of this. She asks the hard questions, okay? She's also the publisher. So while she actually organized the first book, this one I completely put together. But when it got to the point where we were ready to publish it, I had printouts of all the chapters, and I mean, we laid them out on the bed. We laid them out on the dining room table on the floor, and she organized it and say, okay, this chapter's going first, this chapter's going second. You know, she's the publisher, she an editor. She wrote the prefaces for it and everything, and gave direction to the last steps of publishing the book. Me, I got the arts and entertainment degree. I've got the degree in entertainment writing and production, and I went to film school. So I've got the top hat and the cane. I'm the person that has no fear in going in front of 5,000 people and giving a presentation at a UFO conference. Linda's a little bit more reserved about that kind of thing.
So. Yeah, just a little. I mean, I did, you know, I'm pretty sure in our invite say that you would both have been welcome on the show, by the way. So I have not heard an interview where you both are.
We've done about three with this book. We did maybe one or two. Here's the problem. We had a guy, there was a guy on another network that wanted to interview her. He said, had me on several times for 2 hours. I said, okay, if she'll do it, fine. Please understand, you're going to get a very different interview, and she shoots from both hips with machine guns, you know. And she gave him a very different interview. She was the scientist talking about this stuff. Okay, very different kind of interview to talk about, especially her attitude about the ludicrousness of the truth embargo and all that kind of stuff, you know. So, and the fact that the scientific community is, you know, I've tried to show this thing, my data, my book, to academics, and they're acting like the people back in Galileo's age. They will not look through my telescope. They will not look at my book. Like it's going to contaminate them. And so is it the belief that they think it's ludicrous that what I got in the book, or is it they're afraid to look at my book because it may change their worldview?
Wow, again, so many things in there to unpack.
Oh, this gets complicated. This isn't just numbers. This gets really complicated.
Well,
let me tell you a little. I can tell you a story real quick you'll like.
All right.
Okay, it has to do with the UAP thing, okay? UAP report. I got kind of ticked off about it. So I found out who the heads of the Senate Select Intel Committee were in Congress, and I also found out who somebody that was reasonable to talk to on the House Intel Committee. Okay, one of them was a New York State representative, and Rubio was heading up the thing at the Senate. So we put together 2 5-pound packages. The book weighs 2.7 pounds, and I gave Senator Rubio a print. Florida is the second state with the most sightings. They had 11,043 in the 20 years. So we printed out every single sightings shape by zip code. It was an inch thick. We had to get it printed off over at Staples and put it in a three-ring binder when we had to send it in a box to them. And we gave them a very terse, a third of a page or half a page cover letter that said, okay, so you know, if you decide to have congressional hearings, we are the two national experts on UFO statistics. Feel free to invite us to your hearings.
Yeah.
And we did the same thing with the guy from House.
Right. Okay. So...
Who else are they going to call? We were told that in 2020 by the inside usual suspects, okay, if there are hearings this year, which they told us might happen, because they knew the Rubio's bill was going to get, was a rider he was going to attach onto some bill that had to pass, like the COVID bill, okay? And they said, you know, you guys have done the only statistical work since Project Blue Book 50 years ago. You're the go-to people for this stuff. You know, are you prepared to testify before Congress? And we wrestled with it and says, that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. But please understand, we're both former government contractors, and you try to get through your entire life in your career without testifying before Congress, you know.
Yeah, well, but at the same time, a lot of this that has come out, what has come out is because it was part of the system, part of the DOD or whatever the case may be, and they seem to be excluded a lot of the civilian efforts. So, you know, I don't know if that's intentional so that they can arbitrarily exclude it, or if it's, they just don't have time for it.
Well, actually, there's two levels. I talked to Lou Alessandro about this a couple of times when I interviewed him a couple of times. And there was a process, there's a thing called posse comitatus, where the military is really not supposed to be involved with stuff inside our country. I'm not talking National Guard, but I'm talking the regular military, okay?
Right, yeah.
So under Title 10, they're not supposed to go out and look at MUFON data. They're not supposed to look at National UFO reporting data, not officially. No, they can't use it. So they can only really monitor the stuff around their bases and around the fleets. Now, a lot of people say, hey, did you correlate your data around the military bases in the United States? Well, since the end of the Cold War in the 90s, most bases have been downgraded, and the lion's share of bases have been downgraded to Air National Guard and Reserve bases. And only the handful of active bases and the Navy ports and the fleets have the advanced, but the ET doesn't like the advanced nuclear technology. Okay, and that's what they're really interested in. That's why they were shutting down our silos. They're really, they really look at us as a bunch of primitives with a big box of matches, and they are really scared of us because we got these nukes. So the bottom line is, I just lost the train of thought there. It was some.
We're talking about the difference between civilian and military.
Okay,
in terms
military
of information
should be doing.
Reporting.
Yeah. Now, if you believe. There's two stories. You have to figure out which one you believe. When Dr. Kanyon did this stuff, his thing back in 68, the thing to Congress, he said there's no reason to fund any research about UFOs. There's nothing substantive can be learned from them. Okay? And that shut all money off. There was no money for government agencies who do research. There was no money for academics who do research. Okay? And unless it all went dark into the black projects, nobody's been looking at it. And it didn't surprise. Now, here's the thing that's telling. When the Navy people started having trouble with it in the early 2000s, okay, there's a whole bunch of smaller intelligence, military defense intelligence agencies. They all look at different things. Had any of those things that the Navy saw, had anything that suggested Russia or China, all these intelligence agencies would have been all over it like flies on poop, but they didn't. Nobody wanted to touch the stigma, so they ignored it. Oh, no, pilot, we don't want to hear about this, you know. Finally, Navy intelligence stepped up to it because it was their pilots who were having problems with all this stuff. Even Lou Alessandro told me, if it's our own stuff, you would think they would tell us from a safety standpoint they shouldn't be flying as close to our stuff as they were. You know, so it just didn't ring right. So I told a lot of people in my attitude, I think when we were all waiting for the big report to come out, I think the government knows less about it than we do.
I get the impression here that with the government, and you work for the government, you know this a lot better than I do. If something comes in there that doesn't fit within the four corners of their assignment, they will do anything they can to pretend it didn't happen.
Thank you.
They don't want to get involved. And so when you say there's a truth embargo, it may not so much be a truth embargo as an inability or deliberate non-concern about what's happening. Don't hit us with that. We don't want to know about it. Just forget about it. We're not going to forget about this, folks. We have Cheryl, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
America, do you want to win the spiritual war against the demons currently attacking our land? Step one comes from the Bible. Lay down the law by resting on the law and do your resting on our pillowcases printed with His Ten Commandments. Find them at ProjectPillowTalk.com. Don't sleep on this message. Go to ProjectPillowTalk.com or call us at 877-289-7439. When you call, ask to receive another powerful spiritual weapon, free, a CD packed with the secrets of forgiveness using all the instruments of praise written in the Bible, free with your order of our Ten Commandment pillowcases from ProjectPillowTalk.com. Shipping is free too, so call or click 877-289-7439 or ProjectPillowTalk.com. Get your Ten Commandment pillowcases for only $29.95 per set and watch the darkness flee from the light.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
But what this would mean here is that all of those of us who suspected the government has lots of secret information about UFOs, they'd all be stuck in old boxes or in computer floppy disks from those days. There really isn't a central place. that no. has a lot of information that they've assembled over the years that points in any direction. What do you think?
Okay. I asked Lou Alessandro about that because I worked with highly classified material at one point. And I asked him, I said, did you have the authority to pick open some of those compartmented data areas, right? And he said, yeah, I did. You know, and if you've ever seen the guy, he's got that very stoic look, right? And I said, was it worth the read? And his face lit up like a kid on Christmas morning. And he said, yeah, it was. I said, I'm not probing you for what you read. I know you can't tell me, but I just wanted to understand. Now, were you able to get at all of them? He says, no, there seemed to be some filing. You know, if you're trying to hide something, sometimes if you do the intelligent thing, but you file it spelled wrong or you put it under something else, okay? He said, UFO came down and set the lawn on fire at this house. Okay, so we'll file it under lawn fires. Okay?
Okay. This drives me crazy because Gene and you are kind of on this one side of the fence, and I am completely on the other side of the fence. I'm going, oh, yeah? Well, if they do that, then they must have had a reason, and somebody directed them to do that, and
therefore there
is somebody behind
the
scenes.
I'm there with you. Okay, look.
In the shadows directing this.
It goes back to Truman. And that's establishing the NSA, establishing the CIA, and basically, you know, MJ-12, all that stuff. There's been a concerted effort to put a lid on this thing. Anybody who was really, really seriously touching this stuff, guys like Travis Walton, for one thing, they went out of their way to debunk that guy. Okay,
they did a pretty good job too. You're not going to convince me that Travis Walton is genuine. Sorry, but
well,
that's
okay.
Just me.
Well, the bottom line is that they go out of their way to do things. Okay. And going from our reference points here, I'm on a show like with you, and if I say go into certain areas as topic matter, suddenly my internet connection goes flat out dead. I'm on with a telephone talk show host from a real radio station, so to speak. If I get into a certain subject matter, boom, the phone goes dead. I mean dead.
Well, okay. We know that they monitor all of that.
Yes, they do.
For keywords, you know.
Yes, but okay, let's go there for a moment. There's this whole thing. There are people in the government that have been wanting to, this is something that's been held secret for way too long. You talk to Steve Bassett sometime, they'll tell you this. There's people in there who want it out. But there's a problem. When that whole UAP report came out, what a lot of people don't know is there's a war going on over at the Pentagon right now. There's the camp that doesn't want it out, and there's the camp that does. It's a big deal that they're going through this big churn over there. But as you know, they still got their fingers into people in the media. I can't get anybody to interview me. I send them their numbers for their state, right down to the damn county level. If I know the name of the city of the newspaper or the radio station, I give them the numbers for their county, right down to the municipal level. And they ignore me.
We have one group that's in favor, another group that isn't. What does the Pentagon UAP Task Force report, the interim report that we all read, what does that show, if anything? It sounds like this is the easiest way to kind of just
set it
aside.
Congress got a 75-page classified report, okay? And in the unclassified report that we all saw, the words security and threat were used about 9 times each. That's enough fuel to give the chair people of the Select House Committee on Intelligence and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence the fuel they need to hold congressional hearings.
Right, but the problem you have with congressional hearings, for the most part in this country, as you know, is you bring on people there and they try to ask legitimate questions. And then we have people who fancy themselves as comedians, real bad ones. And they get up there and they just rant and rave about some political point, totally illogical, totally unfactual, and they will do everything they can to obscure the message. So I don't know whether someone like Marco Rubio will be serious. I think he is. I think he's making an honest effort to try to get information. But we can mention another Republican, Jim Jordan. If he is on the committee that might be holding these hearings, he'll make it some kind of sick joke.
Or make a circus out of it, yeah.
Right, he'll make a circus out of it. And how then with this history, can we depend on congressional hearings to be anything that will be informative? In the 60s, as I recall, and I'm an old guy who's going to be bionic soon, I guess, that then I thought they were serious. Nowadays, it's half and half. You have some people asking real questions. Others are going to be talking about little green men walking down their lawn or something.
Okay, you've got the other aspect to this. If they do have congressional hearings, and a bunch of us are very think this is probably going to happen, but the problem is how it's going to be made up. Are they going to talk to us, those of us, and there's a lot of them very smart. Is it going to be like the citizen hearings that Bassett did years ago? Are we going to have a mix of military types and the civilian researchers, or is it going to be a parade of swaggering pilots and former defense intelligence spooks? You know,
what we're getting are the pilots and the defense intelligence spooks. We have the former heads of the CIA. We have Chris Mellon, who worked in the Defense Department.
And we've
got the guys involved in Nimitz. We've got Gary Voorhees, all these other people. So you just named them.
Yeah. Well, think about that, too. But, you know, like I said, I've reached out to all these newspapers, and basically those of us in the UFO community are still the unwashed, crazy masses. You know, we can trust those pilots. But even the UAP report threw the pilots under the bus to some degree and threw the technology under the bus. You know, it was a very, very bad approach that they used, because the technology these guys were working with, like that radar ship on the Princeton, that is like the leading edge technology for this stuff, and they were trashing it, and that is so wrong. You could have maybe said that 60, 70 years ago with the type of radar we had back in those days. That the stuff we got now is just foolproof. They sit there and say, "Oh, it's a radio shadow," you know.
I did some looking into that myself as well, and we've talked to Gary Voorhees here on the show as well, and it's conceivable that what they were picking up on radar wasn't an actual object. If you actually do some research into it, you'll find that the Navy, the Department of Defense, they're spending millions and millions, more than that, I don't know, hundreds of millions probably now, on radar spoofing technology.
We're going to spoof this first, and we'll get back with that. More to come with Gene Randall. Cheryl, you're in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
U.S. defense officials are looking for alternative ways to get evacuees into Kabul's airport after a threat from ISIS on the airfield. NBC News reporting that officials are tracking threats from the terror group against the airport and the people trying to get there. About 6,000 U.S. troops are currently on the ground in Kabul to protect the airport and those coming to be flown out of the country. The American Embassy in Afghanistan warned Americans in the country on Saturday to stay away from Hamid Karzai International Airport because of the potential threats just outside of the evacuation zone. And at least 10 people have died and dozens more are missing after heavy flooding in Middle Tennessee. Humphreys County, Tennessee, about 60 miles west of Nashville, saw more than 15 inches of rain, causing flash floods and washing away homes and roads. The Humphrey County Sheriff's Office saying that people have been rescued off of their roofs in the towns of McEwen and Waverly. This is USA Radio News. The Food and Drug Administration is expected to give the Pfizer COVID vaccine full authorization. The New York Times reporting that that could come as early as Monday. All three COVID vaccines in use in the U.S. have so far been administered under an emergency use authorization from the FDA. Former CDC Director Dr. Tom Frieden says that getting full FDA approval could encourage more people to get the shot. He tells CNN that it may also remove some of the hesitancy around vaccine mandates.
I think that will answer some questions that some people have who may wonder what an emergency authorization means. So full authorization may be helpful for some of those who are on the fence about whether or not to get vaccinated. It's also going to be helpful for some institutions that were hesitant about mandating vaccination. And the fact that it will be fully approved makes them less hesitant to do that. And we're seeing in more settings, whether healthcare or schools or workplaces, that mandating vaccination, mandating masks, is the way to get back to an economy.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So if you're just tuning in on some of the radio stations that carry the Paracast in addition to the podcast version, Cheryl Costa joins us. She is co-author of the second edition of UFO Settings Desk Reference. We're talking about the Pentagon UAP Task Force, and because she's had a military background, intelligence background, she knows whereof she speaks about what's going on. Randall, you had a point to make that you want to continue now?
We can pick up on that. So we were talking prior to the break about the reliability of radar and how modern technology, there's always the spy versus spy thing going on. So if you've got some kind of technology, there's always going to be somebody trying to figure out a way to fool it or spoof it. And they've got very sophisticated radar spoofing technology out there. Now, the thing is, if that was the case with these sightings, then it would have to be not something civilian or accidental or anything else. It had to be deliberate. But who was doing it, nobody seems to know. So that kind of leaves us with the question, you know, where did that originate from? There was plenty of incidents where they went to try and find these objects that were on radar, but they couldn't be seen. But then there were cases where they could be seen. So how do you explain that? It's all very curious.
There are things that are outside of our vision range. Remember, some of these things are only seeing on infrared imaging. Okay, a lot of people get cell phone pictures that they didn't see the thing out there in the sky behind the family by the pool, but when they look at the picture, there's the thing, because the cell phones tend to be able to see down into the infrared range a little bit.
Well, to some degree, I guess it depends on their sensors. But
I can't talk about the spoofing technology. I can't confirm or deny, because it's what I used to do.
Right. Well, yeah, you don't worry. You don't have to, because you can find out quite a bit about it if you just have to know where to look. So, I mean, we know, for example, that the radar, that was back then. And so now, who knows for sure what they've got these days. But, I mean, even back then, it was so sophisticated that the radars from those kinds of systems could bring up a profile, not just simply define, you know, tell you that there's something out there, but they could tell you what it was. They could identify an exact model of an airplane.
Yeah. I was taught that kind of skill in the Navy. So, they can. You know, people say to me all the time, I know two rocket scientists, and one day they had me and said, oh, Cheryl, you know, we can track a baseball 250 miles out. How come we can't see these UFOs? And I said, wait a minute. We have stealth technology that takes a thing the size of the B-52 and makes it on radar appear like the birds and the bees. If you think we've got that stuff, you don't think they've got that capability?
Yeah, stealth technology is a really good answer. If I had to choose on, is it stealth technology or not stealth technology? Do UFOs use stealth technology? I'd have to say, yeah, they use stealth technology. They can make themselves visible or invisible at will, when they want.
There is one shape that does this regularly. It's called the changing shape. Dr. Vallee, I didn't know about it until I heard it, Dr. Vallee, on Coast to Coast one night with George Knapp. And he talked about the fact that they would fit their cameras on a particular type of UFO, and then suddenly it looked like something else. Now, is it making it appear to be our shape, or is it projecting telepathically and changing what we perceive in our brain? You know, think about that. It might be an AI ship that knows psychically we were looking at it and makes us not well, see it. Remember, you don't see with your eyes. You perceive with your eyes, but you process with your brain.
Right. I know that's all interesting to get into, but I try to go with the simpler explanations if I can. And I would go with the idea that what they're using is a form of active camouflage would be the term. And that means that they can technologically manipulate the appearance of their craft to look like whatever they need it to be.
I tend to agree with you.
You know, that's not to say that, there's plenty of instances where people believe they have been in some kind of telepathic communication, but and that may have something to do with it as well. But if we just want to stick to nuts and bolts for the sake of plausibility, it's pretty easy to imagine that kind of technology is possible.
I one of the things that bothers me about with that kind of technology is that, I'll give you an example. There's a shape out there that's called the fireball, okay? And a couple of people that I talked to, the more we talked about them, it's almost like the fireball itself is not the craft, but something to distract us from what the craft is. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think I agree with you on this completely. And I was about to ask you just at the end of the last point we were making there then, if they don't have to reveal themselves, why do they put on this light show for us and then play this cat and mouse game?
Okay,
give us the goods.
There's a reason. There's a reason.
Okay, what do you figure?
Okay, the fact that we get to see these things, when someone sees one of these, it makes their reality a little bit more elastic. And in a sense, that person, if once they've seen something they cannot explain away, they're now an experiencer. Not all experiencers have been taken up in a ship. And I think E.T.'s been trying to open people's reality view up a lot. Okay? And let them see things so that their reality, they're open and accepting or knowing of what's going on. I'll give you an example. I interviewed a bunch of people for my column once. There were like 10 of them. They were up fishing up in the Adirondack Mountains, okay? We're not at a lake that had no cottages on it or anything. It was just a big lake up there in the mountains. And something came down. Four or five of them saw it as a technological vessel. Three of them saw it in kind of a cartoon abstract context. And two of the individuals were staring right at it and couldn't see it. See, if your brain isn't wired to process it, it ain't going to deal with it right properly. It's not going to analyze it properly, or it might not even see it. There's documentation about not being able to recognize something and say unexpected.
For this case, though, let me just a couple of quick questions on that one, because I've heard these claims before. And so now you said there were five people. They had different experiences. Now, were they all in a group at the same location?
There were 10 of them together.
Like in a group at the same location?
Yes.
Or were they kind of all around
the lake?
No.
They were all right there at the fire. They were all around the fire that night.
Oh, okay. So they were observing from more or less the same point.
Same point of observation.
Okay, that's interesting, because that wasn't clear in a lot of the cases, because you could say, well, okay, say if there was four or five of them on one side of the lake and another four or five of them on another side of the lake that didn't see it, even though
this
they were looking
the
right.
Case.
Yeah, then you could say, well, okay, if it's some kind of active camouflage, then they were revealing themselves to the ones on the one side of the lake and not the other side of the craft. But this is a lot more curious when everybody is looking at it.
Talk to any cop. They will tell you at a crime scene, 10 people saw something different.
It implies there's some, well, not just our own misperception of the thing, but it implies almost some kind of like direct mental control.
Well, wait a minute. How do we
explain that?
There's a phenomena. And this is well documented in human psychology. It's called the unexpected, I don't remember the proper name, but it's the unexpected syndrome is a shorthand for it. They did experiments, like there was a high school basketball game going on, and somewhere in the middle of the game, a big play was going on, and a guy in a gorilla suit ran across the court. Nobody saw it.
Yeah, that's a little different than if you're all standing outside by a lake and a UFO comes down and hovers over top of you.
Yeah, but remember what I'm telling you about some people are not wired to see it.
You know what? Let's get into more of this about what we can see and can't see. With Cheryl, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jacques Vallée, you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Cheryl, if I understand what you're saying here, people not being wired to see it, is that something unexpected? If you're busy watching the game or something and some really crazy, wacky thing goes on, it may totally be ignored by you?
Yeah. Okay, give me an example. Have you ever run around the house looking for your car keys and there they were right there on the coffee table?
I'll give you a story, which is one I've talked about on the show a couple of times. I no longer wear reading glasses because of the cataract surgery. But I put my reading glasses in front of my printer. Now, my printer is to the left side of my desk. There's a office jet printer there on an old Apple LaserWriter print table to give people a picture of what it is. And I stuck my reading glasses there. And then I couldn't find them. And I asked my wife, where are my reading glasses? And she says, I don't know. I don't do anything with your reading glasses. She's not the kind of person who would hide them. If my son were here, he'd pull something. Obviously, a little dog didn't go looking for my reading glasses. Didn't see him. Then one day, I turned to the printer. I'm always looking at the printer because right now, the way my desk is situated, the way my mixer and my console and my computer and my mic are situated, I look straight ahead, and there's the printer, and there are the glasses.
I've run around with my glasses up on my head, and I can't find my glasses. You know,
well, that's just something personal.
Well, no, but the thing is, I'm sitting here doing these heavy crunching numbers things, right? I get up to go to the bathroom, and I come back, and I can't find my glasses, and don't realize I got the darn thing sitting on top of my head or
sure.
hanging off my shirt, you know.
Oh, sure. Well, occasionally, I mean, I had one that happened to me not too long ago, is my vision was getting kind of blurry, and I was like, oh, where's my glasses? I'm looking around for them. And then I realized that the reason my vision is blurry is because I need to clean the lenses, and I'm wearing them. You know, so, yeah, okay, so people can miss things. But, I mean, I guess it all depends on if this object that these 10 people saw, how close was it? If it was some vague light off in the distance, well, maybe some people's eyesight just weren't that good. If it was as big as a bus at the end of your driveway, well, that's a different story.
And that's about the situation. It was probably, they said it was less than 25 yards from them, and it was huge.
Okay, so now my mind is going, okay, so did somebody, you know, in the party dose the punch with, you know, some LSD or something?
I can't go there, Gene. Because now we're going into the ludicrous, okay? No.
Well, this has happened with people before, though. I mean, it's actually happened. So,
but if you want to write them off like that, write them all off like that.
Well, no. Cooch, I'm a believer. No, I am a believer. I've seen them myself. So, I mean, I'm just saying, okay, but... it could have been the case. It's happened before. Because how, you know, otherwise, then we start looking at, okay, people who have either serious visual perceptual problems or psychological problems, or there's a direct manipulation of people's consciousness in some way, shape, or form.
We can go there for a minute. A lot of people who are touched are not being dragged up into some ship someplace. There's two phenomena we seem to be going on. There's one phenomena where the ET can just open up a portal into your room, in your bedroom or something. And the other phenomena is that they're just going into your psychically going into your consciousness during your REM sleep time, and putting you through a, you know, a holodeck sequence, if you want to call it that, in your mind, you know, controlling your dream. There seems to be that phenomena as well.
Interesting. Okay, now I'm thinking MKUltra or something. What if these people are all, victims of some experiment?
Maybe.
Is that because, I mean, I know it sounds way out there, and it does, you know, when I say, you know, it could be drug-induced, it does sound dismissive, but you have to remember that you're talking to somebody who knows about the history, knows what the government is capable of, has seen one himself, and I'm not simply a wide-eyed believer. I know because my girlfriend and I and myself saw one, and it wasn't even one of the really spectacular ones. And so what am I supposed to say? Oh, well, the three of us are the only people in the world telling the truth about this? That would be the height of egotism. There is just no way that you can start to say that everybody else can be written off except yourself once you know the thing is real. Which reminds me, apparently, you saw your first UFO at the age of 12. You've got to tell us about that.
Well, it was a late August afternoon, a couple of weeks before school started. Been a wet year. Corn was higher than my father's Chevy Impala. And we were coming down off the hill from my uncle's farm. And my mother had my father stop on the dirt road. And it was clear blue sky, western sky, pointed at something. And there was this big silver ball parked out there like a rock. Now, she said, you know, it could be something the Air Force is doing. It could be something. It could be a weather balloon. It could be NASA was only like 5 or 6 years old at that point. So this could be NASA, you know. And then
like how big?
Hold your arm out and look at your little fingernail.
Okay, so like out in the field at a distance, would you say it was as big as a car? I said
it's out in the sky. And if you hold your arm out, it's as big as your little finger.
Okay, so we don't know for sure how large it was. Okay. No.
But when we got down, my father got back on the road. We got down to the bottom of the hill, turned left to head back to our hometown. I crawled up in the back window of that big old Chevy Impala. Remember, it was really big window.
I love those cars. They were great. I had one, in fact.
And I just sat there with my chin on my fist saying, "Who are you guys? Who are you guys?" And when it decided to leave, it was one of these things. I didn't see another effect anywhere near this until years later, like 1992 or something like this, like one of the Star Trek movies, you know, that take off and then, you know, vanish in a point, you know, that type of thing. It was like gone. And that affected me. You know, it really did. And the other sighting that we had was 6 years later, at that point. First thing, that sighting drew my mother and I together. We started getting books at the library and bookstores and things and sharing them. When Don Danigan's book, Cherry of the Gods, came out, I was in like 11th grade. She dog-eared on the top. I dog-eared on the bottom. The book was destroyed by the time we got done with it. I went in the Air Force coming out of high school, and when I volunteered for Vietnam, and when I was in Vietnam, Christmas Eve 1971, a friend of mine and I were walking down to the base chapel to, you know, go to midnight mass, something to do, and we had one of those very clear gazillion stars in the sky kind of thing. We saw this thing streaking across the sky, in the western sky, and then it, you know, the first instinct, jet, you know, and then it stopped. And my friend said, jets don't stop and helicopters don't fly that fast. And then I said, if that's what I think it is, it's going to dance around like a fairy. And it darned if it didn't. And then, poof, gone. Neither one of us had our minds at midnight mass, believe me.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of accounts that are very similar to that. It seems to be one of the most common kind of accounts, and they're very difficult to explain in any conventional terms that I would be aware of. Except maybe now, if you've got some kind of high-tech, military-grade, holographic light projection technology, you could probably do it. But, I mean, you know, what's the likelihood of that? Especially back in those days.
Okay, in 2012, June of 2012, I was working for a newspaper. I wasn't a writer. I was in the tech department, and I made the plates every night, okay? So I parked the car in the garage, and I had this little ritual. The sky was clear. After I closed the garage door, I'd stand there and look at the Big Dipper and the Northern Star and all that kind of thing, just kind of clear my head, you know, from a busy evening. And I'm standing there doing this, and suddenly I'm hearing this pulsing, humming sound. And I started noticing that the stars were being blotted out in like a V formation. And next thing you know, this thing is over me. This thing had to be a football field long, two, maybe three stories deep. It turned out later, there was a red light on the bottom and then these three kind of glowing globe things on the back. And I, you know, shock and awe kind of thing. And it seemed to be moving about 35, 40 miles an hour, leisurely going off towards the northwest.
Let's do our break here, Cheryl.
Go ahead.
More to come. Football-sized object. Oh, boy. With Gina Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.